Welcome to Diversity Discourse, the official podcast of Minority Business Entrepreneur Magazine. This is the space where we create meaningful conversations around supplier diversity, diverse business entrepreneurship, and diversity, equity, and inclusion with some of the industry's most engaging and successful entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and experts. Now, let's get started with today's episode.
This episode is brought to you by Comcast Rise. Check out our latest documentary, The Road to Rise, as we follow the lives of four small business owners all on a journey to achieve big dreams. We stop in four different cities to see how underrepresented entrepreneurs find success through the hype and the hustle. This is a documentary you don't want to miss. Because when small businesses succeed, we all do. To watch now, visit ComcastRise.com or say Comcast Rise into your Xfinity voice remote. Keep rising.
Hello, family. It's Tanya Isley, publisher of MBE Magazine, and welcome to Diversity Discourse, the official podcast of MBE Magazine, where we are driving the conversation and discussions around diversity and diverse-owned businesses. So let me tell you a little story. A little over 2 years ago, I met Brooke Foley during the first virtual NMSDC conference. And listen, the power of well-prepared networking is real. Brooke is the powerhouse CEO of Jane Agency, a boutique brand strategy firm and a certified WBE. And I'm a publisher who's constantly responding to the changing needs of my readers. And together, our intentions led to MBE Magazine and Jane Agency creating a partnership called Beyond the Logo, which has been a content series of articles and webinars led by Brooke on brand strategy, clarity, positioning, and so much more. In each article, she's presented real-world examples by talking to MBEs and WBEs just like you. If you missed them, you can find the articles on our website, mbemag.com. I'm telling you, there's tons of valuable information there that you can use in your business. And today, Brooke is joining me on Diversity Discourse, and we're going to continue our Beyond the Logo series right here. Because Brooke has brought a special guest, Jade Melvin. Jade served the National Minority Supplier Development Council, NMSDC, organization for over 12 years in various positions. But now she's at Babson College as the Associate Director of Inclusive Global Innovation. Brooke recently wrote an article as part of our Beyond the Logo series on how critical suppliers are to the ability for any business to succeed in what it promises. As part of that article, Jade shares her perspective on all sides of the buy-sell and how she sees that affecting so many promises through the coming year, and how diversity, both visible and invisible, feeds into that. Today, we're going to have a conversation with Jade to answer the curiosity over questions like these and more. Thank you, ladies, for joining me today. I'm looking forward to this discussion, as I'm sure everyone else is as well. Brooke, you're the expert on all things branding, so I'll let you drive this conversation. I'm going to join everyone else in listening and learning.
Thank you so much, Tanya. And I have to say, this is one of the most hard-fought podcasts I think all of us have ever been on. So we're going to enjoy it. We really thought hard about what the first article for Beyond the Logo for 2023 would be about. And it really is about digging in and thinking about both sides of the buy-sell. 22 was about everybody kind of regrouping after the whole pandemic issue, but 23-24 is really going to be about survival of the fittest. And when you think about it, your most fittest comes from really owning your position and promise. One of the reasons I thought it would be great to have Jade join us is that I've spent the last 3 years working with Jade on the NMSDC EYE program. And as we've watched young emerging entrepreneurs move from, I have an idea, to I have a business that's really 3 to 5 years old, to I want to start moving into the ability to have succession planning and longevity, watching Jade work with the entrepreneurs and helping them find their own voice, their own sense of equity, creating pathways for others to follow behind and kicking down doors has been amazing, humbling, unbelievably educational for me, and really rewarding. So I thought it'd be great to have Jade join us. And as we talk about it, some of the questions that we see people talk about all the time are, What is it that my company is known for? How do I sell? How do I pitch, which are two different things? Oftentimes we work on what we're delivering inside of the EYE courses. How do we know and ensure that what we deliver is what we say we do? And so many more things. But one of the things that really came out very strongly in the last year was, how do I enjoy what I signed up to do? So I thought it'd be great to have Jade talk to us today. She's seen so much from both sides of the buy sell. So I'm going to let Jade say hi, and then we're going to dig into the questions. So Jade, tell us really quickly a little bit about your transition. You've just gone from this amazing role at NMSDC, and now you're at Babson College. Give us a little bit about that.
So once again, thank you, MBE Magazine, and thank you, Jane Agency, for really just believing in me. I have been blessed to have a lot of, I call, women warriors behind me, trailblazers that have seen a light in me and have poured into me. I wouldn't be where I'm at now without so many individuals throughout my life. So in this current space I'm at, I'll be honest, I am extremely humbled. I am deep in faith and prayer because, you know, as women in entrepreneurship, no matter what your faith or religion is, you have to have faith. Right? And you're usually writing down your vision of what do you want for yourself? And as we go into 2023, I started thinking about what did I want for myself on a personal level? So as you're talking about brands, yes, I have been attached to the NMSDC brand for as long as I've known. I've been in the ecosystem, and I like to call it literally the spider web, right? And with that being said, I started from very humble beginnings. I started with one of our regional presidents and our regional center with Dr. Fred McKinney, president and CEO then of the National Minority Supplier Development Council. And I came in as an executive assistant. I knew nothing about the network. I knew nothing about supplier diversity. All I saw was that there were some great events. And at the time, I wanted to do a party planner and I wanted to always be on someone's red carpet. So at the time, it made sense, right? But I did not know that I was walking into my life purpose. And I did not know that my life would be forever changed by going to my first conference at 22 years old and seeing the, I call her, the godmother of NMSDC, the Harriet Michelle speak. And something about the way she moved in the room, her the respect that individuals, certified MBEs had for her, it resonated to the little girl in me that wanted to meet that higher self. So I've, yes, been in the network for about 12 years, and I've been around a little bit. So working on the regional level with the National Minority Supplier Development Council, then being able to be the brand manager with our U.S. Department of Commerce Minority Business Development Center over our Native American initiative. I am part Native. Shout out to Massatoka Pequot. And I had a chance to just reconnect with my roots there, and then did that for about 4 years. And then, you know, like you said, this network is always watching. People always watching your brands. Your work will speak for itself. And I had an amazing opportunity to still stay within the NMSDC ecosystem and go over to Tuck Business School with our executive education program. And there is where, for me, I learned and met everyone. So I understood different individuals in procurement. I understood individuals in supplier diversity, different individuals in marketing, and I had a chance to work with different corporations and understanding strategic alliances and the importance of those. So that was really like my beginning. And that really started my, I say, my grassroots foundation. And then I had a wonderful opportunity to go work over at WeBank with the Women's Business Enterprise National Council, where Brooke, that's where I first met you. And I was, and I've always been a fan of the work that WeBank has been doing because it's a sisterhood. And I love that type of ecosystem where women are helping women. So it allowed me to see with a different lens and eyes over there and being able to be one of the many helping hands to build out the Women of Color programming. And then I had a chance to come, I call it back home, to NMSDC. I came there literally during the pandemic and everyone was on hiring freezes, and I came in as a consultant. And I was blessed to have the baton tossed to me to take over the Emerging Young Entrepreneurs Program, the EYE program. And I had a chance to reimagine it and really just think about myself being a millennial. What do I want the legacy to be for NMSDC for the younger generation of entrepreneurs? And I was trying to bridge that gap. And with that, so many of the entrepreneurs in the cohort, the last 3 years that I was there, poured into me more than I think I poured into them.
Isn't it true? It's so true.
It is.
And part of why I thought it would be great for you, your path is amazing. It's phenomenal. One thing before I jump into that, I wanted to ask you is, when you watched Harriet move through the room, like, what did you feel?
A woman of integrity, a woman that keeps her promise, stands on her word, knocks down doors. You know, I'm big on history. We know that NMSDC was birthed out of the civil rights movement. I am a February baby. So for me, it is Black Legacy Month for me. And I am immersed. I am in love with Black history and the Harlem Renaissance and entrepreneurship that was happening during that time, right? And the civil rights movements, you know, we it's well documented. We know that entrepreneurs and civil rights leaders, such as faith individuals, pastors, ministers, bishops, they were a part of that movement that pushed where we are now today, you know, pushed the policies forward for us to even have a National Minority Supplier Development Council, for policy to be in place for not just women of color, but for all women, right? So for me, I was fascinated that this amazing gem of our network embodied all of that. And I think I speak for everyone in the network. She is a person that many of us look up to, many of us respect, we call upon when we have questions, and she's always there to answer. And she's literally a living legend that I think we should keep so close and dear to us. So for me, it just, she called my attention and she spoke to like a piece of me that just wanted to become a larger impact to the network. And there are so many others, right? Like there, I can't even, but I don't think I can talk about NMSDC without talking about Harriet. You can't talk about NMSDC without talking about Josette, right, Lacey? You can't talk about NMSDC without talking about Adrienne Trimble. You cannot talk about NMSDC without Ying McGuire. Like, these are women that are constantly knocking down doors for different areas of the, of like, just really the evolution of NMSDC. And it gives me chills to even be a part of that. And especially as we just celebrated our 50th year anniversary, to see all of that, to know that I was that little girl at 22 in the room, just happy to be there. I would have never thought I would be in a role that I am in now, where individuals are looking at me as inspiration. And for me, I'm humbled.
So when you think about that and you start to think about the emerging entrepreneurs, the up and coming MBEs, some of the newer generation into the network, who are the people that would be accessible that you want them to seek out, that you think would be great for them to find? That's, you know, if I was coming to MBE Magazine right now, that's, I would be looking for that type of connection, that guidance. That's, you know, when Tanya says she's looking to respond to her readers, like, what is like the hardcore granular, here's who I would want people to connect with. Like, who are the up and coming people that you see really helping people?
So I would say this for one, the National NMSDC Network, it is no secret. It has always focused on a certain demographic and have always been extremely successful and needed tools to scale and grow. One space that I don't think even myself we did not look at as the landscape is changing and the power of social media and TikTok and Instagram. I mean, there's so many things, and I'm scratching my head. I'm a millennial and I still don't know how to use all of these platforms, right? But these platforms are literally launching these young millennial, what is it? Zen X, Z, Y, all of those, right? They are launching companies in their dorms, right? And they are $1 million companies with, like, you know, strategic alliance deals. They have promotion deals, collaborations. That was not happening for a segment of many of our traditional MBEs. What is happening, and where I do feel and have always and will stand by this, I've talked to so many of this demographic of like 19 to 35 year olds. They're launching businesses. However, they are on a very, they're in a space where they're all virtual, where they don't have a brick and mortar, they don't need to be certified, they don't even know about NMSDC. But guess what happens? You are automatically in that space without even knowing it. Because next thing you know, you're an amazing hair brand company. You are selling millions upon millions of products a day. Next thing you know, you get the attention of like a Walmart and Target, right? They want to work with you. Before you know it, you're going into the supplier diversity space. They're going to ask you right away, are you certified? Certification, what's that? And it's happening time and time again. And I love them with all of my heart, but you have to be prepared in order to be sustainable. A lot of the younger generation, they are so excited to just have like 1 million followers, right? And they're selling their companies, but they're not having an advocacy behind them, an ecosystem that can help grow and scale them. And also, I'll be honest, to protect them. That is why the Emerging Young Entrepreneurs Program came. It was really a safety net to welcome you into an organization that has a plethora of the top minority business owners in the world, right? Let's speak on that. That you now have access to that you would have never had access to. And most of them, and almost all of them, want to pour into you. So imagine being 22 years old, and then you all of a sudden get a call from Walmart saying, hey, we want to mentor you, help you grow your company. And by the way, we're gonna partner you up with a very large MBE that's in your same space. They're probably a corporate plus. They've been where you are, but they can help you along the way. I wish I had that gift, right? And that is what NMSDC is doing.
So when you start to think about some of the things that are happening outside of NMSDC, what are some of those things that you see happening? Because I'll tell you, I saw a shift in dynamic happening from the first year that I started participating in EYE, which was probably before I got involved, till now, which is prior, people were trying to find their way into the program. And like you said, now people are going out, they're finding businesses and they're pulling them in. And we see that all the time through, it's not just dinner. We see it through different places. We see it through MBE Magazine. We see it through other publications where we're seeing the corporates really have a stronger hold on finding people, learning to cultivate them and bringing them in through these programs. And the regional partners have been amazing about it. But when you think about what's happening outside MBE or outside of NMSDC, who are the suppliers you're seeing affected? Who are the partners you're seeing affected?
So first I want to shine light back on the pipeline. I had to go outside of our historical pipeline of NMSDC. So I was going through Black Enterprise. I was looking at Essence Magazine. I was looking at Ebony. I was looking at who was trending because, you know, social media is really so fluent right now that I was literally able to see who are the top business owners right now. Every day you turn around, I mean, you can look in your phone right now and you could just type in top millennial business owners. Half of them don't have affiliation with NMSDC. That was a problem to me, right? Like, how are you a millennial minority-owned business and you are not aligned with us. So I literally actively sought them out. I inboxed them. If they were associated with a school, I reached out to a lot of the HBCUs, because every HBCU, even a lot of the Ivy Leagues, any place in higher ed, they are now having incubators for entrepreneurs. And they've been having that for years.
It's changing, like the scope of that. It's just changing things.
It's changing. So while it's changing, you have to change with it. So I'm reaching out different, you know, deans of universities. Hey, can you share this opportunity with your students that are in entrepreneurship? So that's how I was able to get, for the last 3 years, a network or a pipeline of those types of entrepreneurs that actually were ready to grow and scale, right? They were 51% business owners. So they have to, they literally had to match all of the which and ways that we do certification. Because what I hate it and do not ever want to do is set someone up for failure. So if you come into the program, I need to make sure that by the time you're done with the program, you are able to be certified or you are already are certified. And with that, that's where your corporate partners come in. And what I realized very organically, my first year doing the program, there were many corporations that were program sponsors of the program. And they always had a space there of mentorship. But I amped it up a little bit and I literally reached out to all of our, I call them partners, they're not sponsors, right? I reached out to our partners and I asked them, this is the cohort this year. I sent them literally a list of, you know, their everyone's bio, their headshots, their business plans. How can we support them? Right. That was really my ask. And then my second ask was, would you be ready to mentor, 15 business owners? Then I realized, okay, all of these amazing corporations, our partners, have a full-time job of a boots on the ground and literally turning the wheels of what makes NMSDC run, right? So how do I support them? So I ended up partnering, and you met her, Jill Johnson, at the Institute of Financial Entrepreneurship Leadership, IFEL. She already had a best practice on entrepreneurship and mentorship. So I partnered with her, partnered with you my first year of taking over the program and rebranding it. And literally, we incorporated her already existing ecosystem. And with then, we kind of just did a little bit of a change where one, let's just say I am Jade Malvin and I own a marketing agency. With that, she would do a profile. They would do an application. Then they would also do a kind of like a questionnaire of their strengths, their weaknesses, you know, their goals. Like, and we really, and like, it was already set up. Like Jill Johnson, plug to Jill Johnson, all of you, please go work with her. Go work with Brooke Foley. These women have changed my life with this program. I could not have done it without these women, right? But Jill has such a best practice that it was in a way that really uplifted. So instead of getting one mentor, you were getting like five people to your ecosystem. And that served to be absolutely phenomenal. So a cohort of 15 would end up having like three mentors, some that were in their industry, some that were not, but based off of their questionnaire, they would get a corporate plus, and also a peer mentor, right? That's important, right? Going across, going up and over is, I feel, the secret sauce. So I basically just shared everyone that is the secret sauce to the new I program that exists. And I pray that it continues to exist because it is changing lives. And I've seen it firsthand where individuals have graduated and they might not have been ready when they first came in, but now they can actually do business with the corporation they were partnered with organically.
Sustainably.
And sustainably.
Yeah.
Or the network is so amazing that someone would say, hey, we're not ready for you here, but I have a friend over at this corporation, and I think you should talk with them. And I think that is the ecosystem that exists as extended resources and tools and technical assistance that is going to be needed to sustain this generation. Because unfortunately, I hate to say it, we still need our handheld. And many of these millennials, and I'm going to say it, and these millennials, y'all can come for me if you want to, we're a little hard-headed, right? We think we know everything. We don't, okay? Learn from your elders. Learn from individuals that can pour into you, help you, and actually really want to see you succeed. And that is what the I program is doing and will continue to do.
So let's take it real quick to someplace completely different now and say, one of the things that we saw really become the underpinning of the individual need of people in the cohort, and we see this outside too, we see this with whenever we're networking, whenever we're introducing people, that throughput of the position and promise of the individual and the business that they are responsible for, that they're in ownership of, and how that relates to the position and promise of who it is that's looking to buy from them, right? So what have you seen become more and more pressing or urgent or necessary around position and promise as millennials move into ownership that's going from, hey, I started this up and I think I'm going to like have this fast growth, but now I'm going to look in sustainability. What are you noticing as this emerging growth path is happening? What's catching your eye?
I mean, it's been shown in document tech is huge due to the current state of America with the pandemic of COVID-19. Millennials are moving into healthcare. And then I'm going to just put it out there. Many, and you saw this yourself, Brooke, many had hobbies and they didn't realize it was a hobby. And then with this program, we were able to show them you can do so much more. And this is how you rebrand your business strategy to turn it into an official business. So I think that with what I've witnessed, there was a wide range, which I think is amazing, right? Because you're learning from each other in a cohort. My first cohort, I had 38 participants. My first cohort, I had 15 participants. My second cohort, I had 38. And then we scaled it back again my very last year to 15. And I think with 15, you're able to really spend, I know I did, a lot of one-on-one time with them. So I would have office hours with just me because I wanted to know what did they do on a personal level. So when I was out at a conference or anywhere within the network or just on meetings like this or conversations or anywhere I was at, I could say, you know what, you need to know so-and-so. And then I would connect them, right? So it's about connecting dots. But you always have to know who your, I always knew who my cohort was. I knew their skills. I knew their businesses. Still to this day, I can tell you what each of them do and what they need help on. And I don't know if that's just a skill or if that's honestly just a blessing that I have over me that helps others. But I know that it is a mission of mine to always want to extend and also amplify my generation.
So you sit between the person selling something and the person buying something when you're thinking about introductions.
All the time.
What is the thing that signals you, like, this is a credible introduction that I know is going to be helpful to the person on the other side? You have like a strong foothold inside of that center point between the buy sell. What triggers you most when you go, this is going to work, or no, I'm not going to do this?
So I want to give an example, but I want to give an example without sharing the company. But there's an individual in the cohort, 2 years ago, and they were mentored by a very, very large, world-renowned company. And the company that the MBE, the I participant was a ad and marketing agency. And I knew at that time that this corporation was going to be celebrating their 100th year. And they were looking to change the magic of their company with new stories. And they wanted diverse stories from new creatives. So in talking with this corporation, I knew of some goals that they had, and I automatically thought of that certified MBE Emerging Entrepreneurs participant, and made the connection. And let's just say that they are now in partnership with them for a 5-year contract. And they've created a lot of some of their initiatives for the 100th launch of the celebration of their company. And to see that, it's mind blowing that that came out of the Emerging Entrepreneurs Program. To see another participant basically wanted to give up her company because she was deeply impacted by COVID-19. And this makes me very emotional because I really was talking her off the edge. Like, you work so hard. I know entrepreneurship's hard. That's why I'm not an entrepreneur, right? I have an entrepreneurship spirit, which is why I help you all so much. But I refuse to let you sell or let something go that you work so hard for. And talking with her, she was able to do a joint venture with a large MBE that was not a millennial. And they took her under her wings, and she's doing really good right now. Like, we can all go work for her, right? So I mean, like, these are stories that are touching my lives. I get emotional because being a young entrepreneur is not easy. Being an entrepreneur is not easy. The last 3 years have been life-changing to our ecosystem. And if we have learned anything else, we have learned the power of community. We have learned to pick up the phone and say, I'm going through that too. And I'm sure this has always been happening, right? But I think it's happening on a larger space, which is why, Brooke, you have, like, it's not just dinner, right? Like, there are more calls to action right now than ever seen before. And that is also a trend that I am seeing that I've never seen before.
One of the trends that I see, especially in the MBE space, because we end up doing a lot of work with MBEs and inside the MBE space and with MBE partners, and like our partnership with MBE Magazine and NMSDC. And there's such a hunger for actionable feedback, like an openness and an awareness and embracing that I don't see all the time in that way. So if you were somebody listening in right now, if there was 5 things that you could tell them to think about when it's time for them to consider how they're presenting their position to someone like you, who, or Tanya, who they might want to have help them move a connection through to someone else, what would be like the top 2 and then 3 other things for them to think about?
So, when I first start my cohort orientation, I do a little bit of an icebreaker and I ask each of the participants, when you grow up, what do you want to be? Right. And I do that on purpose because I think there's something to find out about who is your inner child, because your inner child speaks to who you are as a business leader and your creativity and your just being wide-eyed and excited about everything, right? Some of the most amazing entrepreneurs are the biggest kids you'll ever meet, right? And maybe it's the, in my family, I come from a lot of educators, My grandmother's education, I mean, my whole family are educated. So maybe I just went the real education route with them. Like, so draw and color your feelings for me, right? But I did that because for me, I had so many people say, when I grew up, I wanted to be a doctor. And then I talked to them and like, well, I'm not a doctor, but their company is, they're providing mental health services for women and health. You are a doctor there.
Yeah.
Right. Like you're still there. Right. When I was younger, I wanted to be on Broadway. I wanted to be a singer, but now they own an entertainment company. Right. Like, so it's like, it's still playing a part. Right. And I tell people, and I learned this from my mentee, who is really now my mentor, 10-year-old Olivia Dixon. She is honestly, so inspiring. She's a trailblazer, right? She's the very first young entrepreneur I ever had in the program. We've never had kids. I mean, literally, if you saw this past year for our 50th anniversary, everyone saw like 5 kids running around the conference. Nobody else's kids were there. They were really participants. They were in every room. They were in every virtual program, learning lab we had. They did homework. Yes, their parents helped them. Yes, they had recordings where they could still go to school because school is first and foremost, right? Mm-hmm. And they were able to have what I call a bird's eye view. And I call it the eye lens program. And Olivia was the very first person I brought in because I had met her at a Dallas farmer's market. And literally, it's so symbolic with a lemonade stand. We all started as entrepreneurs with a lemonade stand. We were always selling something, right? As a kid, either you were bringing snacks to school. I mean, I got in trouble for that. I brought snacks to school and I was selling them. And I got in so much trouble. Oh my gosh. My mom got the call and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I have a club at school, mom. And like, we sit together and we eat snacks and they all pay for snacks. She's like, but you can't do that. So anywho, I digress, right? But you know, it's seeing someone it's in there, right? It's somewhere in there. So you have to find your inner child again. So I would tell them first off, find your inner child, find a mentor that's young and older than you. Also network. I cannot express how to network enough. It is going to be what is going to open the doors for so many. They don't understand that your network is your net worth. They don't understand that your network, a lot of times they're going to be the individuals that were going to help move you. They're going to also be your advocates. They're also going to be your supporters. A lot of times, especially if they're minority business owners themselves, they're investing you, right? Because they see what you're doing. You know, I got my very first book I ever received with Dr. George Frazier. You know, Success Runs in Our Race. I mean, that is my Bible for entrepreneurship. And I just have the honor of also calling him someone that I look up to and is a part of my ecosystem, right? And that book right there is a gem, y'all. You need to get it. If you don't have it, every entrepreneur should have that book. There are so many others. But as I talk about entrepreneurship and I talk about networking, it is that book. I would also say, you need to do your research on companies. There are so many. This is not just millennials and young entrepreneurs. You say, oh, I want to work with so-and-so company. You see them at a conference, you run up to them. You don't even realize that they're not even buying what you're selling anymore, right? And how many times have we heard that, right? Where they're unprepared. They do not know a company. So I told the I participants this past conference, give me your top 3 corporations you want to work with. That's your homework before the conference. That was learning module 3. It was on supplier diversity. And then I had one of my colleagues at the time, Constance Jones, senior director of network delivery, do an amazing virtual masterclass on the power of certification. So they understood what they were walking into at the conference. Because I'm sorry, there's nothing that will prepare you for your first conference at an NMSDC conference. There's nothing that's going to prepare you for a conference at WeBank. It is overwhelming. I don't care how far along you are in your building of your business. It is like this energy that hits you and you're just so happy to be there. But if you do not move correctly, you could possibly move yourself out, right? So I told all of them about a month before the conference in New Orleans, give me your top three corporates. Give me a list of, look at who, what they are set, what they are looking to buy right now, and what current RFPs do they show that are up that you would essentially want to go after if you could, right? I said, if you do that, I will personally walk you around the trade floor with your top one. And I did that. I walked all 15 of the emerging young entrepreneurs around that expo floor to every corporate of their choice. I introduced them. So that's another thing. It's all about who introduces you. It's all about being in the right room and doing your research. And I was so proud of them because all I did was say, hey, MBE Magazine, this is Brooke Foley. She has an amazing marketing company. I know that you are looking to do this. Would love for you guys to talk. And I walked away. After that, it's up to you to stay there.
So your five things would be remember your child.
Remember your inner child.
Find a mentor younger and older.
Yes. Right.
Know your top three corporations.
Yeah.
Get the book.
And so many others, right? Get so many others. But I would say that follow-up is so important. Like, and it's also when you do the follow-up, because I will tell you this, and we all know this, I'm sure Tanya, you remember this. You will meet someone at a conference and you'll get hammered with like over 1,000 emails that day. This is me and I could be wrong. I say, get them a week after the conference. They have decompressed. They're not checking their email that week. You're going to get lost. Because when we get back from a conference, we are tired, right? We put a lot of energy. We're around our extended family at these conferences. We've had a little bit of fun and partied, right? And then now we got to get back into the swing of things. I'm like, you hit them up a week after. Email them the week after and then say where you met them. Like, it was wonderful meeting you at MBE Magazine. It was great talking to you about boom, boom, boom. So they remember you. If not, you're just another person that they met.
Fantastic advice. I just want to say, Jade, it's always so fun to talk to you, whether we're on a podcast or we're just scheming something. I love it. Say thank you so much to you, Tanya. Do you want to take the wrap up?
Sure. Thank you, Jade. Thank you, Brooke, of course. This was a fantastic discussion and I hope everyone got something. Well, I'm sure they got something out of it. Jade, you have anything you want to say? Brooke, anything you want to say before I wrap this up?
I just want to express my gratitude for MBE Magazine, for all that you do, continue to do, and shining light on women in business, minorities in business, because we need it more than ever. I also want to thank Brooke and your entire team for standing behind me and being an extended resource and also being an amazing big sister. And I think that's something that every young professional needs is someone that just believes in them. So I'm
the older mentor. I'll take it.
But me and you, we have young hearts. So me and you, our inner children play with each other and we get work done. Right?
Love it. I'll be your big sister all day long. What an honor.
I love that.
Thank you, lady.
And thank you everyone for tuning in. The Beyond the Logo podcast on Diversity Discourse will be back soon. So be sure to subscribe and keep up with our latest releases. To learn more about this episode's guests or read their article, find more Beyond the Logo content, head over to mbemag.com. Thanks so much, ladies. We will chat soon.
Thank you. In the virtual world, I'm sending you love and light.
Ah, love that.
Bye.
Bye.